So, how is everything? Where are you from? From Russia?
Yeah, I'm from Russia.
Where from?
Moscow.
And what brings you here?
Sorry?
What brings you here?
Just to study meditation.
Have you done meditation before?
Just a few times.
But you never learned it somewhere?
Just talk.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to this monastery?
Mistake of good man.
Huh?
Good mistake of good man. I'm a hitchhiker, so I'm traveling by hitchhiking, and I just asked him to bring me to the nearest temple, and he brought me to this temple.
What are you doing in Russia?
I'm traveling 7 months, so I stopped all the stuff in Russia, and I'm just traveling.
Did you study?
Traveling.
No, did you study before?
Yeah. So, yeah, I graduated university, and I was working like IT.
IT. Okay. How are you?
Okay.
You have to be very determined just to stay with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? Don't let any thoughts come in. We want to experience a new world. You travel from one country to another and you will always see the same things.
No, it's every time different.
It's every time different, but wherever you go, there are trees, there are houses, and there are people. Mountains and sea.
Different people and different mountains.
That's what you think, yeah. But now we go to a completely new world. A world that you can't even imagine. And that is the world when thoughts stop. So there will be nobody, no one anymore who says, this is nice, this is not so nice, this is good, this is not so good, this I want, this I don't want. This all stops. Yeah? You got there? At least for a few seconds. Or and it is amazing. Yeah? When thought stops, all our worry stops. Doubt. Yeah? When thoughts come back, you know, all our worries come back. So, Mirai. Bye. When thought stops, all our worry stops, all our fear stops, the future stops, the past stops, all these things stop. Yeah? When we start thinking again, all these things come back. All these worries. What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do when I'm old? Yeah? What's happening with death? All these things stop. All worries, all fear. Why don't we stay there forever? Would be nice, wouldn't it? We're completely contented. That's what we're looking for in our life. We're looking for happiness, contentment. And we do all the wrong things to reach happiness and contentment. Wherever we go, you know, we take our backpack with us. And in the backpack there's your worries, there's your fears, there's your future, and there's your past. You can't let go of this bag. And that's why you have always the same problems wherever you go. But if you go from one place to another place fast enough, you don't see it. If you stay there for longer, then we unpack, yeah? And all the problems that we are trying to run away from come back, because we take them all with us. And there is something that we should learn when we do meditation. Yeah? If we are inexperienced and we do meditation earnestly because we don't really know what is going to happen, yeah? And then we drop down into a very calm state, very amazing state, yeah? And then we should remind ourselves the next time when we do meditation, then we try to get to the state again. And we forget that only the work is bringing us to this state. And the work is just a mental repetition of the word Buddha, or sticking with the calm, sticking with the breath at the tip of the nose. That's why I like to use the simile of digging a hole. Yeah? Take a shovel and dig. Yeah? If you dig at the same place, yeah, one day, you know, because it's more difficult, there are more stones and the hole won't get so deep. And another day there are no stones and the hole get very deep. Yeah? It's a byproduct of our meditation. Yeah? So I mean, no matter what, yeah, these expectations are looking back at the results that we got, you know, a few weeks ago or a few years ago. I mean, it doesn't bring anything. Huh? It is just like, you know, you have the shovel in your hands and then you look for the hole that you dig yesterday. It's not there anymore. You have to dig again and then you get a hole. Each day, each time you have to dig, yeah, and then you get the hole. So this is something that confuses a lot of meditators. Huh? So be aware of that. Yeah? We just dig. We just return back to the breath. Yeah? One day it goes better, another day it goes not so good. Yeah? Because one day there are lots of stones, yeah, a lot of hindrances, and another day there are no hindrances. Huh? If there are no hindrances, of course we can dig deeper. Huh? If there are a lot of hindrances, we don't get very deep. Yeah? Because we have to get all the stones out. And that's a lot of work. But that's where we can learn. Yeah? That's where we can learn how to fight, yeah, the hindrances. Yeah? Hindrances like sloth and torpor, yeah, boredom, doubt, and so on. Whatever comes up. So tomorrow is a big day, so there will be a lot of disturbance. Also in the evening. You saw already today there are lots of people. Lots of people. And tomorrow there will be more. So you can expect a lot of noise. But tomorrow afternoon it should be quieted down again. And it's not only that. It's not only the festival. But it coincides with the Chinese New Year. So people take off, you know, the Chinese descendants take off, yeah, for these few days. Okay, let's go back to the basics, yeah? When we start meditation, we start with concentrating on the breath at the tip of the nose. When we are finished with everything, we end there. So everything happens there. So there is not a more advanced meditator or a beginner. There's just one who is a little bit more experienced than the other. There are not different levels, and because from the beginning to the end we always do the same thing. We either get the mind calm or we investigate something. What makes us different is the experience that we gather along the path. Yeah? And there can be people, you know, who meditate just for 1 year and have more experience in this 1 year than others within 20 years. It depends. I'm not addressing you directly. I wasn't thinking of her, but when I saw her reaction, then it came to mind. So keep that in mind, yeah? Keep that in mind. Walking the path is just taking one step forward in the right direction, yeah? When you think you have to walk from Barcelona to Beijing, yeah? I mean, all what helps is in order to make one step forward in the right direction. Yeah? If you walk backwards, then it's of course not very good. Yeah? You will end up in Barcelona again. Or Catalan. Yeah? So the important thing in practice, yeah? Let me stress that beforehand, it's just one step at a time. Yeah? If as long as we go in the right direction, we don't have to worry about anything. Yeah? But the right direction is that the thing that we doubt sometimes. Yeah? What is the right direction? It's sila samadhi panya. That's always the right direction. Yeah? Sila, keeping the five precepts. Yeah? Samadhi is making the mind calm so that it stops thinking. Yeah? And investigation is... It's not investigation in the beginning, it's not investigation what goes into the mind, because what goes into the mind goes out of the mind. Yeah? It is, what is this body? What are we attached to? Yeah? Body and feeling. Yeah? So when we start with practice, we have to know and to understand the Four Noble Truths. Yeah? The Lord Buddha taught us the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth is the truth of dukkha. What is dukkha? Yeah? I mean, normally wrongly translated as suffering? No. It is discontent. Yeah? It is everything. Dis-ease, discontent, yeah? Pain, suffering, yeah? Boredom, restlessness. Yeah? That's why we travel, because we're restless. We don't like it here anymore. Then we go there, to the next place. That's dukkha. It's called dukkha. And when we look at our life, there's lots of dukkha. We are discontented about this, we are discontented about that. Yeah? Things just don't go the way that we want them to go. Yeah? And that leads to the second noble truth. Why is there dukkha? Because we desire. We desire this to happen, or we desire that to happen, or we desire this not to happen, or not, that not to happen. We want to become like this, we want to become like that, we don't want to be like this, we don't want to be like that. It's desire. Yeah? That causes the dukkha. If there is no desire, there is no dukkha. There is no discontent. No? There is peace and there is happiness. Peace and happiness are the nature of our citta, or the nature of our heart. Yeah? But because we close the door to our heart, that's why we can't see. Yeah? Now we have to open the door to our heart. Yeah? And when you look at your life, what did you all put in front of your heart? Yeah? It is just like a storeroom, like an attic. Yeah? All the things that you don't want to see, all the things that you don't want to take care of, you just put in the attic, yeah? Well, think about it, you know, living for 50 years, how full it is, yeah? Living for 200 lives, how full it is, yeah? All these things there. The moment we open the door, all these things, you know, come. So we take them up, yeah? We look at them, you know, throw them up, yeah? Get rid of them, yeah? Burn them up, hmm? So that the room or that our heart becomes empty. Yeah? That's the whole purpose of our practice. So desire leads, is the second noble truth, desire leads to dukkha. Without desire there is no dukkha. And we can test that very easily, we just need to go into samadhi. When there is no desire, there is no discontent. There is just pure happiness or peacefulness or stillness or joy. Natural aspects of our heart that we try in the world that we try to get otherwise. Yeah? Some people take drugs, yeah. Other people take, yeah, take alcohol. Other people, you know, travel. Other people, you know, look for money. Other people look for power. I mean, no matter what, yeah? They always try to find happiness, yeah. And then for one moment, you know, when they are somewhere else, they think now they are happy, and then in 5 minutes later or 5 days later, yeah, they are just as unhappy as before. Because our desire never stops. There is no end of this desire. If you travel through all of the world, then you want to travel to the moon or to the Mars or out of the solar system. Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. Yeah? Look at the humankind. Yeah? We want to know. Yeah, once we know everything within our solar system, we want to know how does the other solar system look like. Yeah? The next one. Yeah? That is 4 light years away or something like that. And it just will look the same. There are planets, there's a sun. I mean, if you go far enough, we might meet another planet where there are human beings. Yeah? Why not? At the times of the Lord Buddha, one of his disciples traveled to another planet, yeah? Where there are other human beings. He said they looked a little bit different, but pretty much the same. But he got lost on his way back. So he needed the Lord Buddha. At both of the planets, there were Buddhas. So they needed to connect to each other. And along this connection, he could go back. Otherwise, he would be lost in this universe. Somewhere in the Digha Nikaya, so I find it quite amusing. But anyway, if it's true or not, you know, I mean, it has nothing to do with us. No, I was just talking about trying to figure out the world. Once we know the world, we want to know the moon, then we want to know the Mars and all the other planets, and once we know the solar system, we want to know another solar system. There is no end of desire, there is no end. We want to buy this, then we want to buy the next thing, yeah. I mean, we're just happy for one moment and then we think about, what can I buy next? That's the way it goes, yeah? So, that is the second noble truth, you know, desire, and there is no end of desire. The third noble truth, yeah, it's just a happy statement or a statement, there is an end of dukkha. Yeah? And the fourth noble truth is, that's why we're here, yeah? The path that leads to the end of dukkha, yeah? And it starts with sila, moral precepts. Not harming any living being is the first one. Not taking what is not given is the second one. No sexual misconduct is the third one. And that is sexual misconduct wherever you go, that's where what you see. Not being faithful in one's partnership, yeah? Having somebody or using somebody for one's own sexual amusement, because he is subordinate to us, yeah? Father, daughter, mother, son, teacher, student, professor, student. It's all sexual misconduct. And as I told you before, I mean, it used to be against the law, yeah? I mean, 100 years ago. And of course, sex with animals. And nowadays, you know, chefs and secretaries, you know, that is very famous sexual misconduct. Anybody who is dependent on us, yeah, having them within a sexual relationship is sexual misconduct. So, then lies, not lie, not using harsh speech, harsh speech that hurts other people, that's the fourth precept, and the fifth, no alcohol, no drugs. These are our guidelines or our protectors. They protect us from going down. I mean, we are in the human realm. The only realm that we can see with our physical eyes is the animal realm. That's another realm. Then there's the ghost realm, then there's the demon realm, and there's the hell realm. And above us there are 21 or 25 heavenly realms. Just open your eyes, not the physical, the inner eyes, and you can see them. And you can see the beings there. Our eyes are limited. I told you, if you could see a little bit more in the blue spectrum, we could see the devas, yeah? Or heavenly beings. If you could see a little bit more in the red spectrum, we could see the beings in heaven. Yeah? They exist. It's not something that you have to believe, but it's something that you have to trust that it's true. Yeah? Belief doesn't help you. But if you want to see it, you know you can see it. Do you want to see some of these beings suffering down there in hell? It's not nice. And they didn't know it, because nobody told them. Nobody told them that there are five protectors. There are five rules, you know, protectors from going down. Killing animals, you know, leads us to the animal realm. Killing human beings leads us to the hell realm. Stealing, serious stealing, you know, leads us also to the hell realm. Sexual misconduct always leads us to the hell realm. Alcohol and drugs might, depends on the heavy use, and so on. Just keep them from today on. What you did yesterday, I mean, it's gone. In German we say, you have to eat the soup that you brewed up, Whatever we've done will come back to us. And there's nothing that we can prevent it from. So the five precepts are basically our protectors. I mean, no matter if you want to stay in the human realm, then you have to keep the five precepts. If you want to come back as a human being, you have to keep the five precepts. If you want to go to the heavenly realm, you have to keep the five precepts. But you have to do a little bit more for that. You have to develop from generosity, gratitude and respect. And that would be the way to heaven. Keeping the five precepts. A lot of generosity, a lot of respect, and a lot of gratitude. They're very happy beings up there, but they still have dukkha. They still have discontent, they still have desires, to build this or build that, when that gets destroyed, they have dukkha, just the same way as we. But they have much less dukkha than we. And the problem is, once your time is over there, you come back in the human realm or in the hell realm, depends on your karma. Whatever you do, will have an effect on you. That's why we have, and I'm sure in Russian as well, that's why we have the saying, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. Because everything that is done unto you, you have done unto others. Nobody told you that. Everything that happens to you, everything that happens to us, is something that we have done in previous lives to others, not in this life. Things grow a little bit slower. I mean, each farmer knows if he sows potatoes today, he can't reap them tomorrow. He has to wait 6 months. We have to wait at least 60 or 70 years, and that is mostly one life, to reap the fruits of our karma that we do now. Just like, why should it be different? If you sow an apple tree, you have to wait seven years, If you sow some extremely good karma, that comes back every life, you have to wait for seven lifetimes until it bears fruit. But then it bears fruit every life. So that's a law, I mean, just because we don't know the law doesn't mean, we are outside of the law. If you don't know that killing is against your law in your country, what do you think, the judge will say? Not knowing the law doesn't help you. He will send you to prison no matter what, Oh, I didn't know that I can't drive drunk. Drunk driving, doesn't help you. They take your license away. For what? And so is it the same thing? Just because we don't understand the law, or we don't know the law, or we are not interested in the law, the natural law, that holds true for everything. Yeah? Not only for this country or that country, not only for the human, but also for the animals. Yeah? And for the heavenly beings and for the beings down there in hell. Yeah? If you torture somebody, you will get tortured. Yeah? In German, we actually have that expression. Yeah? The oppressor of today is the oppressed of tomorrow. I don't know where it's coming from, but you know, we got it. And we often say it, you know, but not knowing what we say. Yeah? With a lot of these idioms, you know, we don't know. Yeah, I mean, we know them, we heard them, but we don't know the meaning behind it. So, the protectors, yeah? That's the sila, the five precepts. Yeah? You should come on time. Don't tam vela, na? Kapo. So the path that leads to the end of dukkha, yeah? The path, you know, the path that leads to the end of dukkha must be the path that gets rid of desire. That starts with keeping our desires in check. Yeah? Whatever desire we have that goes against the five precepts, we don't do it anymore. From today on. Yeah? No matter what we did yesterday, I mean, we can't change that anyway. Yeah? And we've noticed that. Yeah? You said something, we can't change that word. You know, the other person has heard it, you know, and is deeply insulted, and we can't change it anymore. The word has gone. Yeah? We have to live with the consequences. And so is it the same thing? So from today on, we keep our five precepts in them. I mean, you still have quite a few years, probably quite a few years to live. Nobody knows, yeah? And then, the more you live within the five precepts, I mean, the more you feel pure, yeah? And in the end of your life, you don't have to worry about anything, because, I mean, people only worry about when death comes, when they have done a lot of bad things. People who have done a lot of good, you know, never worry when they die. Because they know they go somewhere nice. Yeah? Only people who have done a few bad things, you know, or cross bad things, or a lot of bad things, you know, they are very afraid of that. So, protect us. Yeah? So, the five moral precepts. And then we have to learn samadhi, and that is the hard part. Yeah? What is samadhi? Samadhi is the ability to concentrate on one object. We here in this tradition, we take two objects. That is either at the tip of the nose, knowing the breath goes in, knowing the breath goes out. Not following the breath. Yeah? That is one. It's called anapanasati. That is the original method of the Lord Buddha. Yeah? Because for some people, especially for people who think a lot, you know, it's difficult. We can also do the mental repetition of the word Buddha. Buddha, 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 or Dhammo, or Sangho. Yeah? Whatever has two syllables. Yeah? Or if this is still too difficult, we can put with breathing in, do with breathing out. Yeah? We just, every time, you know, the mind goes out in a thought, or goes out in a memory, we bring it back. Yeah? And you will sit down, you know, for 15 minutes and think, I've never done any kind of harder work. Yeah? It is not easy to keep the mind at the same place, huh? Even after 5 years, you know, or 20 years, you know, it still wants to go. And especially the first few days, you know, I mean, quite tough, yeah? But the less we allow the mind to go out, I mean, it will be tough, yeah? But the sooner we will get calm. Just don't allow, yeah? Whenever you see it, yeah? The important thing is we shouldn't pressure the Buddha, or we shouldn't pressure the breath. We should put all our effort in pulling the mind back. Yeah. Okay, here, put. Yeah? Here, put. Now this thought is so, I need to think that out. Yeah. That's where you apply your force. No. It's enough. I mean, I have half thought it. Now it's enough. Let's go back to the Buddha. Yeah? And that's what's difficult. Yeah. All our life is going on in our head. Yeah. It's going on in our thoughts. Yeah? In our plans. In the future that we plan. Yeah? Or in the past that we live. Yeah. But what is going on right now, you don't even know. When you make your plans, you're not here. You don't even notice what the body is doing, how the body feels. So that means we don't live in the present moment. We live in some illusion. Yeah? Just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, we live in a delusion. We don't know what is going on. When you sit down and calm and concentrated on the breath or on the Buddha, you suddenly notice. You suddenly notice you have a body. I mean, all your life you use this body. But the moment you try to concentrate, you notice you have a body. And it's constantly in pain, it's constantly in dukkha. Yeah? Constantly. Yeah? All our life we have used the body, never thought about the body. Yeah? And now the first time you try to concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha, you know, we notice, oh, this body is, it's a nuisance. Yeah? Constantly needs to shift around, constantly needs to do this, yeah? Then he needs to go to the toilet, yeah? Until we understand, you know, it's not the body that needs to the toilet, it's the chitta that needs to go to the toilet. Because the chitta is bored, it doesn't want to do the meditation. Yeah? So it thinks about all sorts of things. That's why I compare, you know, the chitta or the heart, yeah? For you, it's the same, similar to the heart, yeah? Not the physical heart. It's like a driver in a car. Yeah? If the driver in the car sleeps, the car doesn't go anywhere. Yeah? But if the driver is awake, you know, he goes left, he goes right, he goes straight, he goes backwards, you know, he goes fast, he goes slow. Yeah. But, yeah, yesterday I had a nice excuse. Yeah, it was the body, you know, who fell over, you know. No, the body doesn't fall over, yeah? If the chitta, yeah? I mean, if the driver, you know, while driving falls asleep, you know, the car goes here and here and here and here, yeah? So this is something that we have to understand, yeah? I mean, that will be the one of the first things that we will investigate. The path to the end of dukkha, or the path, you know, to the end of desire, is going over the five precepts, yeah, and then samadhi, and then investigation wisdom. So the samadhi training will be very difficult. Yeah? There will be a lot of pain coming up. Yeah, and don't get fooled by the pain, because the moment you get up from your meditation sit, you notice the pain is gone. The moment you go back to your meditation sitting, the pain comes again. Strange pain, isn't it? If I have a physical pain, you know, no matter if I get up, yeah, or sit down, you know, I mean, it should be the same. Yeah. So what kind of pain is it? Yeah. That's what we investigate when the pain becomes too strong. Yeah. We sit for an hour, about for an hour, yeah. Sit comfortable, yeah. We don't have to sit completely erect or stiff. No, sit comfortable, yeah, relaxed, yeah. And then focus the breath on the tip of the nose, or focus it on the Buddha. Yeah? And then observe what is going on. The knowingness is the important thing. The knowingness is the sati. Yeah? It's this awareness that tells us what is going on in our heart. Yeah? But we have to develop it through this concentration. The more we train it, yeah, the calmer the mind gets. And it will get to the point when thoughts actually stop. Yeah? Don't get afraid. Yeah. You don't get afraid when you fall asleep. Yeah? You don't know where you go. You know where you go when you fall asleep? No. Yeah? You don't worry about it. But we worry about when our thoughts stop. Huh? Just like this card, yeah? Cogito ergo sum, yeah? I think, therefore I am. When I don't think, I am not. And that's actually quite true. Because there is nobody there. Yeah? But there is just complete experience. But there's nobody there who experiences it. That's a strange thing. Yeah? Nobody who takes hold of this kind of experience or that kind of experience. There's just this pure experience. Yeah? The experience of sound, the experience of feeling, the experience of touch, yeah? Also the experience of vision. Yeah? Sometimes vision come up. Can happen in our vision of a previous life come up. Or it can just happen, you know, some people, you know, see a vision of the future. Yeah? These things can happen. Yeah? Visions can come up. But there's nobody who takes hold of the vision. Yeah? And some of these visions, be it the past or be it the future, we don't understand. Yeah? It takes a little bit of wisdom, you know, to understand. It takes a little bit of training. Yeah? So don't try to interpret it. If you don't understand, yeah, it's called in Pali it's called nimitta, yeah? A sign. Yeah? If you don't understand the vision, you don't forget it. Yeah? It's the same thing, you know, if you wake up from sleep and you had a strange dream, don't think about it. It saves you a lot of time for your meditation. Dreams are just the same thing, you know, when you sit there and try, you know, and your mind goes off, that's a dream, yeah? And in the night, of course, you do the same thing. So, as useless as the day dreams are, as useless are the night dreams. Yeah? Don't even worry about it. Yeah? It is not, it doesn't help us understand anything, these dreams. These visions can point to something, yeah? These nimittas can point to something, yeah? But if you don't understand them yet, we will understand them later. Yeah? So don't worry about all these things. So when we do, then the last part of the path that leads to the end of dukkha is investigation. So we investigate this body. Yeah? As I said, you know, get out of the car and look where the car is. Yeah? Get out of the body and look around, you know, and see this body. That's not you. You're born in the car, you die in the car, and then you think you are the car. Huh? You can get out of this car. Some people can very easily they get out of this car. Then they have much more traveling time, yeah? Because then they go to the ghost realms, look, you know. I mean, the ghosts live just like us, you know. They have farmers, you know, they have prisons, they have cities. The devas just live like us, you know, they don't have prisons there. Yeah? But they have beautiful mansions there, and beautiful food, yeah. Much better than anything here. You can travel, you know, for the rest of your life in these realms, yeah. But that's not the point. It's just like traveling here on this earth. There's no point in it, yeah. Because your desire will not grow less, yeah. So you have to understand, investigation of the body is you have to understand what is this body. The first thing that you have to realize that you are not the body. And the first thing that you have to investigate is how long did it take you to program this body? When it came out of the womb, could it do? Could it walk? Could it talk? Could it digest? Could it think? How long did it take you? 15 years, 16 years, 17 years, 20 years when you went to university to program this body? Each movement, I mean walking, was programming. Yeah? Tying your shoelaces was programming. Yeah? Writing is programming. Yeah? Have you seen? Yeah, I mean, if you see an industrial robot, or yeah, go and watch it, you know, for a while. Yeah? How long it takes, you know, an industrial robot to be programmed to do the task. Quite a long time. 3 months, if it's a complicated task, 6 months, you know, sometimes even a year. Yeah? But then it can do it without fault. Yeah? So it is with us, yeah? I mean, we program this body, yeah? No? No? Well, nobody tells you about it. Everybody around you, you know, does the same thing, you know. When you're two, you start to walk, you know. When you're three, you start learning to talk, you know. When you're five, you go to the kindergarten and learn how to start to think or express yourself, and so on. Until you go to the university, that's the highest level of thinking where you're trained in. How to think correctly, how to think in line, you know, how to think rational, or, you know, how to think emotional, it doesn't really matter. Yeah? And then we have this body for a few years, you know, maybe for 30 years it works normally fine, you know, and then it starts to fall apart. Yeah? Normally at the age of 45 it starts to fall apart, just like a car. That's why it's a very good example. When the car is brand new, you know, normally it runs very well, if it's not a Monday's car. Yeah? Just like some bodies, you know, they start have troubles from the beginning. But a normal body doesn't have any problems until it gets 45. Then it starts, yeah, to decay. Yeah? And then when you look at your parents or grandparents, and then you see, yeah, how they decay slowly, slowly, slowly until they are buried. Yeah? Or burned. And the interesting thing about, you know, these old people, they still want to live. They want, yeah, they don't want to die. Yeah? They want to have a new life. Yeah? And they start this process over again. Yeah? After you die, yeah, it's just like, you know, you have a car that breaks down, you can't fix it anymore. What do? Get a new car. If you have enough money. Yeah? And there's no end to it. There's no end to it, you know, and the Lord Buddha called it samsara, yeah? Or the hamster wheel, I call it the hamster wheel. Yeah? Or the video game called life, yeah? You can't stop playing, yeah? These video games, yeah? Have you seen people that are addicted to these video games? They can't stop playing. Yeah? Each time they explore something else, yeah? First time they explore this, I mean, this video game life, you know, I mean, there's infinite possibilities, yeah? I mean, we can for the rest, you know, for the rest of trillions of lives, you can explore the rest of it, yeah? This time we live on this planet, next time we live on another planet, yeah? And so on. Yeah? There's no end to it if you don't put a stop. We are addicted to life, and that's why we want to have one life after the next life. Because we don't see. And that is the only problem. Because we don't see the dukkha that brings us this just this one life form. The dukkha to take care of ourselves. The dukkha to earn money, to feed ourselves, to house ourselves, to clothe ourselves. Yeah? We don't see it. If you like to work, you know, you won't travel, you know? If you like traveling, you don't like to work. Yeah? Things like that. So, I mean, take that as a reminder. Yeah? I mean, the hamster wheel always thinks he's moving, yeah? As I said before, when you look from outside, I mean, he doesn't go anywhere. But within the wheel, he thinks he's moving all the time. It's going on. And the faster he moves, it's interesting. But we see it very clearly, but for ourselves, that we are the hamster in the hamster wheel, we don't see it. We don't want to see it because we think it's moving. But what is moving? What is actually moving? What is changing? Yeah, I mean, today it's sunny, yesterday it was cloudy, yeah? And before that, you know, it was raining, yeah? And that's all these different things, yeah, that appear on the side screen of the hamster wheel. That's what we think, you know, we are going somewhere. Yeah? We are going from rain to sun, from sun to rain, from cloudiness, you know, to sunny or to rainy, yeah? From happiness to unhappiness, yeah? All these things do not belong to us. Yeah? Somebody, some magician, you know, makes a vision there or projection, you know? Nice pictures, yeah? You close your eyes and they're nice pictures. Yeah? Sometimes not so nice pictures, it depends on. And this is something that we have to understand. Yeah? That's why within Buddhism there are three principles, yeah, that hold true for all beings or for everything that is within the universe. It is anicca. Yeah? It is impermanent. It arises and ceases. Yeah? Whatever arises and ceases, yeah, it cannot be us. Yeah? The next principle, anatta, is a very... All these things that we can see, we can feel, we can experience, are not us. Because who is the one who is experiencing? You experience a feeling, don't you? So the feeling and the experience are different. The one who experiences is different from the feeling, isn't it? But we say, I am this feeling. I am happy. And tomorrow you are unhappy. So what are you? Are you happy or unhappy? Huh? Are you sad? Are you at peace? Or are you restless? Are you bored? Yeah? It constantly changes. Huh? I mean, if you have a set of clothes, you can change it. Yeah? Today I like white, tomorrow I like black. Yeah? So I don't like the white anymore. You go to the drawer and take the black shirt. Or the blue shirt or the green shirt or the yellow shirt, whatever. Yeah? Can you do that with your feelings? Can you change from a sad feeling into a happy feeling? Try that. Try me. You can't. It's not you. It doesn't belong to you. You don't have any power over that. It just appears and it disappears. Just like with the thoughts that constantly come and bother us. Did we invite them? No. They just come and bother us, huh? Knock on the door, say, hello, I'm here, you know, take care of me, yeah? I'm very interesting. I lead you there, yeah? And that's why we fall for it, yeah? It's a stranger knocking on our door, yeah? And tells us, yeah, now here's a thought. We don't invite the thoughts. Most of the thoughts we don't invite. Of course, there are some thoughts that we invite. There are some memories we invite, yeah? But some of the memories that we want to invite don't come back. Huh? Sometimes they come back. Huh? Some of the thoughts, you know, I mean, just don't work out. Yeah. So they are not really us. Yeah? Very simple example. Here, you see this pitu? It's you? No. Of course not. Look at your hand, it's you?
Yes.
Why? You see both of these things? Huh? Why do you say one thing is you and the other thing is not you? Yeah? Why do you separate yourself out? Yeah? Whatever you can see cannot be you. Whatever you can feel cannot be you. Yeah? Take a very simple example. Go to the movies. Watch an interesting movie. Yeah? For 1.5 hours, where are you? You're not in your seat. There's somebody else sitting there. Because you are in the movie. And only when the movie stops, you come back in the seat and see, there's somebody sitting there who actually watched that movie. Huh? Huh? That is the closest, yeah? When we close our eyes, that is the closest simile, yeah? Or the closest example that can really make us see what is going on. It's on our inner screen, there's a movie. And just like with the outer movie, I mean, we get so excited, or we get so angry, yeah? Or we get so sad, you know, when we see that movie, yeah? But there's actually somebody sitting there who observes this movie. He has nothing to do with the movie. And we know when we go to the movie, it's not real. It's projection of three colors and a sound. Yeah? That's it. And how do we fall for it? It's amazing, yeah? We fall for our own. That's what I'm talking last. We fall for our own creations, yeah? We think, you know, it's amazing to make this creation, and then we sit there and fall for it. We made this body, you know, and we fall for this illusion that this is wonderful. Yes, I mean, it is. It's an amazing thing, yeah? But it's not us. Yeah? And it has a lot of drawbacks. So many drawbacks that you don't want anymore. Yeah? Especially the older you get, huh? And that is the investigation that we do, the investigation that leads to wisdom. Yeah? What is it? What is the purpose of my life? Yeah? When you die, when I die, what do I want to get out of it? Yeah? And also the reflection of, okay, I was born, I have to die. Yeah? How do I spend my time? Yeah? So it's useful. Yeah? Or do I just, you know, just like most of the people, they are born, you know, and kill their time and wait until they die. Waste their time. Yeah? Kill the time. What do you do with all this entertainment? Eh? Wasting our time, you know? On the smartphone, yeah? Or on video games, or in the movies, or on traveling here, traveling there. I mean, wherever we go, that's where we are. Eh? Doesn't really matter if we sit, you know? We can travel further, you know, if we sit here for hours, yeah? Than actually to move this heavy body, yeah, around, yeah, hop it in a plane, hop it in a car, you know, or taking a perpetus on foot, yeah. Think about it. So it's a little bit noisy. I mean, I get constantly thrown out. You have any questions? Did you understand? More or less. Sandy, you understood? Just dig the hole. Doesn't matter, you know, what happened yesterday, you know, happened yesterday. Huh? What happens today is important. Huh? And you will see, sometimes we can't see the progress that we made because we still think about a memory. And that memory is not really true, yeah, that we had in our month ago. Yeah. If you look at it, yeah, and if you see, especially if you see, that you need much less sleep, tells you how calm your heart is. Yeah. I mean, a restless heart, a heart that is constantly troubled, needs much more sleep, yeah, than a heart that is calm. I mean, a good meditator needs about, in the beginning, 4 to 4 hours, yeah? Then 3 hours, and at last, you know, when he's really good, yeah? 1.5 hours per day. So, I mean, if you need less sleep, and if you're not tired, you know, I mean, that means, you know, your your meditation or your calm progress. Yeah? And you will see, the more investigation you do, and investigation trains, yeah? Trains the energy, samatha brings energy, and investigation trains energy, you probably need more sleep, yeah? Okay? So don't worry about what happened yesterday, just worry about what is happening right now at the moment. Yeah? It does work out. Yeah? And especially, you know, if you notice that you need less sleep, yeah? That's always a good sign. Even though we might not see it, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, I said, 1 year, I mean, 1 year has passed by, nothing has happened. Yes, nothing obvious has happened, but, you know, there's a constant development. When you look back, you know, how you reacted towards this, or when you see how calm the mind normally is and how more difficult it was to calm the mind down. These things, these small things, yeah. Nothing big is happening, yeah, most of the time. We just do our work, you know, we just go along, yeah. From Bordeaux to Paris, you walk on foot, you know. I mean, sometimes it's nicer, and then sometimes, you know, the scenery is not as nice, yeah. That's all what it is. But if you continue walking, you will end up, you know, in Paris or in Beijing, you know, the final goal, yeah, Nibbana. Okay, any more questions?
How can you investigate yourself?
Yeah.
if you are always concentrated on this Buddha?
If you're concentrated on the Buddha, that is called samatha. If you do investigation, you put the concentration on what you want to investigate. Yeah. So, when you investigate the body, you start with the hair. The hair of the head, yeah? I mean, it's nice. You look in the mirror, it's nice. You know, you just wash it, it's nice. But when you look what is down there together with the soap, you don't even like to touch it anymore. It's strange, isn't it? When the hair just falls off the head, you know, falls into the soup or into the meal, we don't like it anymore. We find it disgusting. But when we wash it, when we comb it, you know, I mean, we love it. Why? Yeah. It's the same with the food. You know, we love to take it in. We don't like to see it coming out. Huh? Or the skin. Yeah. I mean, we like the skin, you know, we rub it, we oil it, you know, but when it comes off, disgusting. The same with the nails. Huh? I mean, for women, you polish it and you, yeah, I mean, but when they come off, you know, when you clip them off, you don't like that what it is there. The moment something comes off your body, you find it disgusting. As long as it is on your body, you find it lovable. Beautiful. Nice. Why? The teeth, yes. I don't care about my teeth, yeah. But people in, you know, people normally care about their teeth, yeah. They want to have full teeth and white teeth and so on, yeah. And they find it disgusting when they see somebody, you know, old people, you know, that have lost their teeth, yeah. It's nature, yeah. Now, I mean, in the West we have invented, because we don't like to see it, we have invented the third teeth. You know what they are, you know, they are just implants, yeah? A plastic, yeah? Hard plastic or whatever it is, yeah? They're not real. But it's better for us, you know, to see, you know, somebody, you know, with false teeth than to see somebody with no teeth. So, you understand it. So you concentrate on that. For instance, on the hair. You can concentrate on the whole body, or you can concentrate on the skin. Yeah. Or you can concentrate on your whole life. Yeah. You start when you're born, and then you watch it. You don't know how it is when you die, but then you watch your parents, you know, they are much older, and then your grandparents, and how they died. Yeah. So you watch your whole cycle from birth to death, yeah? I mean, whatever, you take one subject and you stay on that subject, be it the hair, or be it the skin, or be it the teeth, or be it the nail, yeah? On this subject for 1 hour, yeah? And don't go off that subject. That is investigation. And later on, once we investigate all the outside, then we go to the inside, yeah? And then we rip off the skin and look what is inside. Okay? Of course you can't do that. And there's one important thing. You should not mix. Yeah? If I do 1 hour, so that's why I have to determine. Now I'm doing 1 hour or 2 hours of samatha, yeah? Of calm meditation, staying on the breath, yeah? Or staying on the Buddha. Then you should stay on the Buddha and you should stay on the breath. Yeah? You shouldn't change them. Yeah? Except for when the pain becomes true, then you can investigate pain. When you do, then you say, okay, now I investigate the body. You might want to do it only for half an hour in the beginning, yeah? Just from birth, you know, till I'm 20, you know, what happened, all these things, yeah? All the dukkha, you know, that happened to me, yeah? That is fine, then you stay in that time, yeah? If you want to stay with the hair, then you stay for half an hour just with the hair, yeah? Or when you stay with the skin, or with the teeth, or with all these outside things. Yeah? And then ask yourself, yeah, why are these things, you know, as long as they are on the body, nice, and when they fall off, they are disgusting. It's not that you have to learn something, it's not that you have to make them disgusting, you already find it. Yeah? I still remember, I never wanted, you know, to clean out my bathtub, you know, because it was so dirty, but where did the dirt come from? Yeah? Certainly not from the bathtub. suddenly came from me, yeah, and the hair that was stuck there, you know, I didn't like to remove it, you know, I always found it disgusting, yeah? Just these little things, yeah. In these things you have to reflect about them, yeah? That's what you have to investigate, see that these things, yeah, I mean, it's just, it is. It is the driving force for us to get angry or to love something or to desire something. If you don't understand why we judge this to be good and this to be bad, yeah? Because that is just a judgment. Yeah? The hair on the head is just the same as in the train. Yeah? There's nothing changed. Yeah? And we know that. We should know that. Yeah? The only difference is that it's not on our head anymore. Yeah? So why does it become disgusting? Why do we find these things disgusting? That is something that you have to investigate. Yeah? It's not different. The nature is not different. Yeah?
What about, like, for example, if you have a drink,
yeah,
you're okay to drink from the same bottle, but if it's someone else, then you don't like it.
Yeah, but you like to kiss your girlfriend. It's a different bottle. Yeah? Or your boyfriend. And you don't mind to exchange all the fluids in your mouth with your partner, but you don't like it, you know, if somebody spits on you. Hmm? We make the rules, you know, and we do follow our own rules. Yeah, this I like, this I don't like. Yeah, I mean, just you don't even like your own fluid that is in the mouth. You spit it out, and 5 minutes later, lick it up. You find it extremely disgusting. Yeah, but you exchange it with your partner. As long as it's in the mouth, it's fine. The moment it comes out, you find it disgusting. Everything. Yeah? And that is nothing that I teach you that you have to do. No, it's something that you internally find. Yeah? You don't like it. Yeah? Okay, understood? Investigation, samatha. Don't mix both up. And don't change while, you know, because you're getting bored of the Buddha, let's investigate. No, that's not good. Yeah? Keep on the 1 hour that you're determined to do and then go into investigation. And then you see you don't want to investigate. And sometimes in investigation, because looking, observing, investigating something makes the mind really calm. It can really get calm. Yeah? Don't jump into calmness. The only exception is, and you can't help it, if the investigation goes really that deep, then you will end up in deep samadhi. This you can't help. Yeah? It just leads you automatically there. Yeah? And when you come out, you know, I mean, then do whatever you want to. Yeah? You probably want to go back.
So investigation is the way to improve our samadhi?
Yes.
Yes. But we need to have a good level of samadhi.
Yes.
Investigation.
Normally I say, if you can stay focused on the object without getting off, yeah, for 10 minutes, then we can start with investigation. Yeah? Then it makes sense. Yeah? I mean, it is just like, I mean, with a sharpened knife, I mean, it is much easier to cut things and see the structure of the thing. If the knife is not sharp, I mean, you just crush it and you don't see the structure. Okay? Happiness is there. It is our own right, yeah, to go there. Yeah? But we have to remove all the stones, heavy stones that we put in front of our heart. Yeah, that is one thing that most of the meditators, you know, especially in the West, forget. Yeah, the way to the heart is very tough because we have to deal with all the things that we have stored up in the heart. Yeah? An empty heart is the heart that is completely happy, completely contented. Yeah, so what we have to do is, you know, to make the heart empty. And that is, you know, for the first 2 years, if you're really practicing very tough, yeah, I mean, that means removing all the things that are, all the big obstacles that are within your heart, that you stored away, that you didn't want to look at. You have to watch it, you have to observe it, and you have to take it away and burn it. Yeah? And sometimes, you know, if it is deep, you know, I mean, you have to look at it 3 times, 10 times, or maybe even 50 times before you can take it away. Things that, you know, just thought for one time, you know, go one time, yeah? Things that we constantly suppress, you know, I mean, we have to look more often, yeah? And we have to use then wisdom, yeah? In order to get rid of it. Okay, so...